Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. If you are new to our channel, subscribe, drop this video a like and get involved in the comment section, but also get involved on social media as well. So welcome to our predicted lineup episode. If you are new around here, we predict the lineup, what we think for the upcoming game for Aston Villa. So we'd love you to all get involved. We've just done our match preview, so be sure to go check that one out as well. Goes a little bit more in depth on what we've just seen, and also the opposition of Everton coming up, and we just have a general chat about all things Aston Villa. But on this one, we sort of dig a little bit deeper into what we think the predicted lineup's going to be. So Justin, do you want to add anything other than what we discussed the other night?
No, I think we've said it all, haven't we? Now it's time to look forward. It's time to focus now on what's ahead of us, not what's gone. Hopefully, positive week's training. Looks like they've been at Villa Park as well, training, which is good news, I think. Get them used to the ground, the two new lads. It'll be nice to see them to train around those settings, wasn't it? Ready to walk out on Saturday, and hopefully a sold-out, raucous Villa Park will cheer them on to glory. So let's get into the lineup.
Yeah. And I know I said to you, Justin, in the group chat after the game against Bournemouth, when I was in a bit of a mood, I was like, I don't want to see no training pictures of Watkins or anyone bagging goals into the top corner. And we know today that they've been training at Villa Park, and they sort of followed Kamara around, and it was just passing, and it was just exactly what I wanted to see. Passing, working on the shape, working, you know, on partnerships and whatever. We did see Buendia eating a few free kicks into the top corner, but I'm okay with that because, you know, it weren't shooting practice and everything like that. So, nice to see them just getting on with it, getting stuck in at Villa Park as well. So, you know, I guess that's for like some of the new lads, for the surrounding. And I quite like it that they're sometimes training at Villa Park, because I just think, you know, that's where they play their games, and they need to be comfortable playing on that pitch. And, you know, we graced that pitch, Justin, didn't we? And, you know, we were going for 90 minutes and absolutely smashed it. So Carlos and Kamara should absolutely have a great time on there. So let's get into it then. Head over, like we did last time, to utvpodcast.co.uk. You want to be going under Social Hub, and you want to be going up under, hold on, here we go, what am I doing? You want to be going in Lineup Selector. So last time I said that we're going to get the player emblems on there, up to date. So the Lineup Selector now is up to date with all the correct player faces as well. So it looks a little bit more pro now. So I may as well just kick it off with Martinez in goal. I don't think there's much more to say about Martinez, to be fair. So, you know, I'll do fullbacks. You can do central defenders.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I'll go. So we'll go on the left. We'll go standard Luke Dean, and we'll go Matty Cash on the right-hand side of things. What I would like to say about both of them is, so I'd like them to sort of just take a little bit more responsibility on the types of ball that they're putting into the box. Be a little bit clever, a little bit cuter, positional-wise, you know, have a little bit of tactical nous about sort of when to go, when to drop back, when's the right time to go forward, what's the right pass. And something Dean Smith always sticks with me is when he said, be a good teammate. And I think that goes through the whole 11 on the pitch. Be a good teammate and use the ball wisely and correctly. Don't give it to somebody that's under pressure or it's just the easy option. Play with confidence. But to just use the ball better, I think there was too many aimless balls into the box, into nobody. I think we need to be a little bit more clever, work it better down the wings. And I think that's what they need to definitely work on. And that's what I think we need to be doing, just be a little bit cute and a little bit more clever with the ball. Do you want to add anything?
I think we just want to, we did cover it the other day, not be too gung-ho with the fullbacks. I think, especially in the first half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour, if there's an opportunity to get forward and support either side, then great, take it. I don't really want to see both fullbacks bombing forward, you know, sort of aimlessly and overloading too much. I want to see us sort of work our way into the game on Saturday. I want to see us control the game, control the ball, and the fullbacks really, you know, when they get a chance, get forward and support the attack. But none of this, both of them being high up the pitch and sort of leaving Kamara and the two centre-halves to sort of pick everything else up, and the two eights being tasked with sort of covering the fullbacks. I just want them to just be fullbacks, you know, defend well. And if you get a chance to get forward and support, go for it.
Yeah, and I think if when we looked at the lineup of Everton for the preview, they're playing with a lot of wingers. There's wingers everywhere. So
yeah,
playing five at the back. The players that are in midfield are wingers, Pacey, Gordon up top.
Yeah.
You know, if we get caught out of possession with our fullbacks forward in this game, I think they can hurt us in that sort of wide area. You've got Iwobi played in midfield. You've got McNeil. You had Damari Gray, Gordon, two fullbacks that like to probably bomb on in that 3-5 at the back system as well. So we've got to be switched on to that area, I think, on Saturday. So that's where I see them trying to hurt us, I think. No sort of silly free kicks. I mean, Dwight McNeil, he's got a decent free kick on him, decent cross on him as well. So, and we need to be too careful on that then. So, Justin, go on then. What we're going central defence?
Right, I definitely think Carlos will start again. So that's nailed on. I'm going to sort of swerve the Tyrone Mings debate because I'm going to attack this like he's injured. I know there's, you know, there is sort of rumours that he's carrying this knock and stuff. So in a sort of perverse kind of way, it might help everything if he unfortunately misses the game through a knock, because it'll stop the debate. Because I don't see him starting if he is fit to be on the bench, and that will just create more conjecture and you know, the press are going to want to talk to Smith, Gerrard again about why, you know, what's the problem with him. I just want to try and just enjoy the game. I think that we need to try and win this game massively, and all the other stuff that's going on and has been talked about a lot, you know, try and get away from it a bit, you know. So I'm going to stick my neck out and say, I think he might, and this is a big call to be honest, is he might bring Callum Chambers in.
Really?
That's a huge call.
I've thought about this, and do I think Ezri Konsa had a good game on Saturday? No, I don't. I don't think he had a good game. If I'm being brutal, I don't think he had a good game. And what Gerrard was saying before about consistency and not playing well, but I just feel like we need a partnership from somewhere.
Yeah,
we know the squad's going to be utilized quite a lot this season in various positions, but I do think that area, you don't want to start chopping and changing.
I agree, okay, I'll backtrack on that then, because I was so 50-50. I've discounted Tyrone Mings for all the reasons I've said.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's injured. Yeah.
So you're left with Konsa or Chambers. So, okay, the realistic thing that will happen is he'll stick with Konsa, won't he?
Yeah.
So let's keep Konsa, because that's the more likely option that's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's just for that reason. I just...
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of us already sort of, we've gone in on game week one with a plan and a formation and a side. And for him to just be like, okay, after one game, you're not playing anymore. Do you know what I mean? I just think...
Yeah, because then that'll create another debate after the game. Well, he's left Mings out the first game, and okay, now he's left Konsa out the second game. So, you know, every time we lose, he's just going to drop people.
Yeah.
So you have got to have consistency with your selection. I do agree. So let's stick with Konsa and Carlos. He's obviously earmarked them two as a partnership, like you said at the start of the season. They're the two he's chosen to be his centre-half partnership. So let's go with them.
Yeah, and so I would say that, obviously, if they have an absolute stinker at Everton, then something's got to change, hasn't it? But I just think, I think we've got to go with Konsa, I think. I think we've got to stick with this partnership. But even for Carlos to... for his understanding. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I think he needs a partnership, to be honest. I think this one absolutely nailed on Boubacar Kamara. I was watching those training videos of him, like, picking the ball up and knocking it around. And the speed of the passes looked quicker, which I really liked. So I think Kamara definitely starts this game.
Well, let's not forget as well, it's going to be a learning curve for Kamara. You know, we've all know the quality he comes with and the reputation he comes with. But the reality is he's a 22-year-old lad that's just moved from France, where he's played all his career. He's a young kid and he's moving into the Premier League, which by everybody knows it's a much faster league, more physical league. You know, so he's going to have to get up to speed. He's played three pre-season games and one Premier League game, which, if I'm honest, I think after that game last Saturday, he'd probably gone, wow, okay, now I know what it's all about. And it ramps the pressure up even more now. The first home game sold out, just lost the first game. So we have got to have a little bit of time with him, but there is definitely, he's a quality footballer. Oh, yeah. And I think he'll only get better for us. So he definitely starts.
I think McGinn definitely starts this one for me.
Yep. Again, captain's role. I think he does slot back in, but I do think there's a change in the other side for
100%.
Me.
For me, pending new 3-year deal for Douglas Luiz. I think he starts this game. Do you?
I think he goes for his experience. I know he's not particularly old, but I think he's. He's been all over the place in his short career, really, up to now, and he's got a lot of experience, international, obviously, as well. And I think Gerard probably would, if he was pushed, would have said it was a toss of a coin between Luiz and Ramsey last week, and he just favoured Ramsey for maybe his athleticism, maybe getting up and down in his goal threat, possibly. But I think in this game, we're going to need a bit more control in the middle park, and Luiz's passing range, I think, and his positional sense as well. He's more defensively minded than Ramsey. But I think he will thrive in the eight. You know, we've said it all along. He had to cover the six last year. He wants to run in the eight. You know, there can't be any coincidence that we've brought a six in and now hopefully this contract's going to be done. I'm looking forward to seeing him play, to be honest.
100%.
That's no slight to Ramsey, because like I've said all season, all pre-season, we are a squad now. We are not a first 11. We obviously have to pick 11 to start the game, but you know, we're a squad now. We're not reliant on the first 11. So Ramsey will still have a part to play massively.
Yeah. I'm just looking at this front three now thinking, what are we doing here?
This I'm glad you're going to pick
really,
it.
Really interesting. I'm happy for Bailey to get another start. I think he did okay at Bournemouth. We need to see a lot more. But again, I think I don't want to keep chopping and changing too much. At some point we need a bit of a balanced side, which we see not week in, week out, but just, you know, I think I'm going for Bailey. I don't think he was terrible against Bournemouth, but I don't think he was absolutely outstanding. And I think him starting at Villa Park, I think the atmosphere is going to be great. And I think he can have a really good game against Everton. Are you thinking that sort of way, Justin, or not?
I think there's an argument. You could argue to change all three of the front three, to be honest, because we have got the players to do that. But we're back to the Esri Conser debate as well. Do you throw everything out after one defeat, or do you stick with players that have done well in pre-season? It's only one game. For me, I think Bailey deserves another start. Last season, I think, was one of his criticisms for me, was he didn't start enough games and he didn't get any kind of momentum going. You know, footballers like momentum. They like to play week in, week out and get their form together, and it helps massively. I think Bailey still stays in the side on Saturday.
Right, go on then. You can have the next one. You can have this one then. What are you thinking?
Now we're into the, will Steven Gerrard leave Coutinho out or not?
I think he will.
See, I said pre-season, there's an argument for Coutinho being a starter at home and an impact player away, because I don't think he has the same impact away from home as he does at home. So this is why I'm sort of umming and ahhing about the Bailey, because would there be an argument, and we've been here before, to play Coutinho and Bailey and Buendia?
Hmm.
I don't know. This is a real tough one because we obviously our Achilles heel last week was we didn't create enough clear-cut chances, did we? Yeah. We had quite a lot of the ball. We were winging balls into the box left, right and centre, whereas we wanted somebody to be able to put the foot on the ball in the final third and create chances. What I don't want to see if Coutinho starts is I don't want to see him picking the ball up off Konsa and Carlos and Kamara. I want to see him in that final third. I think he'll stick with Coutinho if I'm brutally honest, because for that reason I think he might evolve that he's a home starter and away impact sub.
Yeah, I mean, I think for example, if we didn't have Emi Buendia, you know, you've got to play Coutinho at home, haven't you? Just because of his quality, you know, the kid can just do a bit of magic out of nowhere.
And yeah, but he's got to start showing consistency, isn't he? His performances, you know, regardless of taking the name out of it, if you're just watching the players' performances, does he warrant a start on Saturday? You know, he didn't pull up loads of trees in pre-season. He didn't do a lot last week. You know, Bailey's had a much better pre-season than he has. So I'm just on pre-season alone, Bailey probably deserves the start ahead of Coutinho. Buendia's always looked lively when he comes on again. Impact sub. I think if it's not going well on Saturday, I want to see the use of those substitutions far earlier.
Yeah.
Far earlier. Yeah. Even before half-time, half an hour, 35 minutes. I feel
against Bournemouth that he could have made a change earlier. Before
I do, yeah. Whether he's, again, as a manager, you've got to, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because you've got to live or die by these decisions. And if you're dragging a player off before half-time, that player is going to be pretty pissed off. You know, regardless of the level of football you play, anybody that gets hooked before half-time, it's very annoying and it's quite embarrassing, isn't it,
to get dragged off. This is just a little stupid idea that I've got in my head, because you know how we keep hearing about Arsene Wenger's ideas of wanting to make the game faster, right? Mm. I think it won't be long before we're getting into a territory where those subs are just roll on, roll off. Because we're hearing about the refs now of trying to let things go a little bit. And, you know, they will blow a foul, but some of those challenges that are a little bit like you're not sure and you think would normally be, they're letting those go. They're trying to get that clock of the ball being in play longer. I think for some game the other day, I think I saw it was only in play for about 60 minutes. So I can see sometime in the next few years, it's just literally roll on, roll off. And that's how I see it going.
It's very interesting. Very interesting you say that. I'd never really, you know, thought of football evolving that way. But would it be... Is it an impossible thing to think of? No, it's not.
What I say this is that it's sort of, we're waiting now for a pattern in the game now where once one manager starts making substitutions before half time, you know, now it's seen as, oh, it's really, if you get dragged before half time, it's seen as like your career's over. Do you know what I mean? But
I
think imagine Klopp or Guardiola start making two changes before half time, everybody will start following suit, won't they? So that's what I do actually.
Yeah. Well, this is where the game will evolve now with five substitutions. You know, you're changing. You don't ever, I mean, unless your keeper gets injured, you're not going to change your keeper, are you? So essentially, you've got 10 outfield players and you've got five subs. So you can change for half of your starting team, can't you? You're starting outfield players. So you can, essentially, you can change your front five, can't you?
Yeah.
So, you know, how much of an impact would that have on a game? You imagine half 40 minutes to go and you're 2-0 down and you've got like Man City have, a squad full of world-class players. You could essentially change your whole front five. You know, what kind of impact would that have on the game? You know, all of a sudden everybody's... And change your formation. You know, real radical thoughts like this. I think we underused the subs last week. But I do get the manager's philosophy of, you know, you've got to let the players, you know, try and get themselves out of it. But sometimes that just don't work, does it? And you've got to change it. The sub's there for a reason, and they're all chomping at the bit to come on and affect the game and want to play. So use them.
Yeah, nice little. We went a bit off topic there.
Off kilter there, yeah.
Yeah, so
that's for another pod.
Forward wise, I see a tactical change. I see, because Everton are playing five at the back, presumably, which we think they will do. I think Watkins maybe could occupy them a bit more than Danny Ings. I think Watkins running, dragging, movement, harassing, I think that probably suits playing against Everton.
Something we haven't even discussed is, could he go two up top with Coutinho in behind? Yeah, could it be that he leads Bailey out and plays Ings and Watkins with Coutinho in behind him? Could he do that? And that wouldn't be seen as leaving Bailey out. That's just he's having to drop to the bench to accommodate a slight shift in formation. You know, like I said at the start of the season and in pre-season, now we've got a better squad. Will the management sort of think more like what's the best team to beat Everton? You know, what you know, could it be two up top against the back five? You know, they're obviously playing five at the back. Could two forwards keep their back five more occupied and keep them quieter and stop the fullbacks from bombing on as much? Because if you've got one up top, and we know Coutinho and Bailey like to drop deep and get the ball, you've all of a sudden got all their back five with a lot of time on the ball, so it could allow their fullbacks to get forward more. Could play in two nines right up against their back three mean that they can, I don't know, they're more occupied. I don't know. I think there's an option. I think there's a potential he might maybe play Ings and Watkins. But to be honest, you could play Leon Bailey up front as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would something like that would work, wouldn't it?
Yeah, with Watkins there. What do you think? Do you think there's any chance he'll change formation?
I'm just not sure. I mean, something like that could work anyway, couldn't it, really?
Yeah.
As opposed to having to say it's got to be Watkins and Danny Ings. I mean,
I've always felt Bailey could be a decent option up top, you know, because of his pace. And he's in decent form. I mean, I think what the two tens, I think, for me, worries me a little bit because I'm just not sure how they work because they're not out and out wingers. If you had, you know, two proper wingers quite wide, then basically you're playing 4-5-1. You know, and essentially you could play, or what Dean Smith used to play, 4-2-3-1. With sort of a proper 10 and your two, like Jackie used to play wide left, didn't he? And whoever else would play wide right, El Ghazi or whatever. And they were stretching and hugging the touch lines. The two 10s, I'm not convinced they know how to work it properly and dominate the ball enough.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I think that's the most likely starting 11.
Yeah.
I think, unless he changes the formation.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I reckon let's go with that then. And hopefully we've got it right. But Villa fans, let us know your thoughts. Drop your teams on social media. We will be back for our fan cam, first fan cam of the season, match reaction, player ratings. And yeah, we'll see you on the weekend then. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.